Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium. And everywhere else at 8 p.m. Take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia.
This is real dump.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
Good start. I was waiting for you to clear your thoughts as so I could start. Scream West Virginia.
Okay. Let's go with that. That's the start of the show. You're singing Take Me Home, Country Roads. But yes, this is Real Dump, Episode 2, a Lights, Camera, Podcast story. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
West Virginia.
Blue Ridge Mountain.
Shenandoah River. We can harmonize pretty well. I think we just keep this intro.
Are we going to turn to an a cappella podcast?
Yeah, when Pitch Perfect 3 comes out, which I'm sure we'll all see.
We will, and we'll probably do a 40-minute review on it.
I wish I was in marketing for that movie just so I could be like, hey, how about this again? Are you ready to get pitch slapped? It's like worked for the last two movies.
Hey,
in your face.
You can tell from the trailer they did what everyone was asking for, and that was more Fat Amy.
That's what we need. She wasn't prominent enough in the second one that, yeah, you're right.
So we have a lot of movie news to get to, per usual. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. You can now find us on Twitter, at Lights Camera Pod, and on our website, lightscameramovies.com. Got some reviews up there. We're going to have some fun over there. So follow us, look at our links, comment on our stories, tell us we suck. I don't care. Just visit the website.
People are saying it's better than Rotten Tomatoes already. It's crazy.
They are. Yeah, that's the thing. We have our huge movie rating database. So you can see what we've rated every movie this year that we've seen. And we're slowly filling in all the movies since 2006. And I'm sure we'll go back. So it's a good website. We've gotten some good feedback. But hey, we want some more feedback. So check it out and let us know what you think.
They need to see this Excel spreadsheet behind the database, because there are some sick formulas in there. Some index matches, some sum ifs, count ifs, nested if statements. I mean, it's all there. I really wish we can share it, but we just can't.
First up, Linda Hamilton back for the new Terminator reboot, which they're rebooting it once again, because why not? Why not just give up on something when you know you can make a little bit of money? James Cameron's going to be back for this one. So will Arnold. Linda Hamilton, though, reprising her role. I have many thoughts on this, but I think you guys do too.
It's worth noting, James Cameron's not directing it, though, right? He's just producing it. Tim Miller's the director.
Yes, but I think he's trying to take the reins a little more and really control how it happens.
Yeah, that makes sense. Look, it's hard to get excited about a Terminator movie after Terminator 3, which was bad. Terminator Salvation, which was bad, and then Terminator Genesis, which just pushed the boundaries of what's considered bad. That was awful.
Yeah, it stunk.
That
stinky
was
movie.
Really, really bad. It's like, why would you bring Arnold out of semi-retirement just to do that?
You know, and bringing Linda Hamilton back, that's an obvious move, because she's the standout through the first couple of movies, and she's obviously great, especially in Terminator 2. It really speaks to the inability to create new characters for this franchise. There's a universe in the whole Terminator world, and you know, maybe they're boxed into a corner because it has to revolve around John Connor. I'm going to go see it, though, just because it's Terminator. But considering how the last ones have gone, I don't have a lot of faith in this.
Yeah, I'm not too excited for it either. I have generated, however, three different titles for our new Terminator movie with our 70-year-old lead Schwarzenegger and 60-something-year-old lead Linda Hamilton. So first, I have Terminator Dialysis.
Oh, boom.
Then I have Terminator Extra Fiber Optic Connection.
Oh.
Lastly, Terminator The Medicator.
Terminator Cialis.
What about Terminator Geriatric? Something with that. That's a good way to...
They all sound like Genesis. It's perfect.
My thing with these movies is they can't really find new characters and storylines. It's not even a reboot. It's like a retry. Like when I think reboot, it's like a refresh, which is what Ghostbusters was. I mean, it was shit, but that's a reboot. And then there's the soft reboot. But then this is just like a retry because they failed so many times. It's something that I wish they would just give up on already.
Yeah, I'm going to have like a thumbs down going into the molten pit for this movie.
I'd rather see them do something different with Terminator. And you know, maybe if they're going to reboot it, and this is not a reboot, but just like reboot it and don't include John Connor. Just have something else with the general concept of Skynet. And there's so much to work with now because everybody is like afraid of AI and robots and stuff. But I mean, you have time travel, and anytime you have to write around time travel, it just becomes a boondoggle. I don't know.
I feel like it should be easy, though, right? Considering the time travel element, it should be so simple to create an alternate dimension. And if you have an alternate dimension, you can create any new amount of new characters and plot lines you want.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I like the idea of that type of creative thing, but they're clearly not doing it. So that's why and here we go. Not buttering my popcorn on this.
I'm going to butter my popcorn with that synthetic. I can't believe it's not butter spray. I won't use real butter.
That can be good, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, but it's better than nothing, in my opinion. I'm just really hesitant to get my hopes up for something Terminator related. And if it turns out being somewhat good, then fine. I'll be happy with it. Like I'm saying, disappointment is where reality doesn't meet expectations. And the bar had been set so high with Terminator that, or Terminator 2 and Terminator, that I just don't know where they can go with it. And I don't know how they're going to make it good, but you have the man, James Cameron, who's taking a few minutes out of his busy schedule filming Avatar 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 to oversee this project. So maybe there's a little bit of hope for it.
Yeah, I'm doing olive oil spray, like the really condensed spray, also very bad for you, and a pinch of salt. No butter.
None whatsoever.
None. Just I'm so ready for this franchise to be dead and Arnie to be remembered for Predator, Commando, and Terminator 1 and 2.
So, Kentek, are you saying just no more Terminator ever?
Yes, no Terminator ever. Or at least give it some time to heal and people to want it.
Honestly, I'm looking for Jingle All the Way, too. That's the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I want. That movie ended where he forgot to get his wife a...
Turbo Man! Turbo Man!
Next up, we talked Mother...
Last Mother, week. Tell your children not to see this film.
Darren tell Aronofsky, the director.
Tell your children
the
not to see
Mother.
This film. I'm not going to do it. I'm done. We gotta get it done.
The director of Mother.
Mother!
He has said he would direct the Superman movie, not in the DC Extended Universe, the DCEU. Are we buttering our popcorn to Darren Aronofsky, the director of The Black Swan and Mother and The Wrestler? Great movie.
Oh, yeah. That
Black Swan's pretty good, too. Are we buttering our popcorn on a Darren Aronofsky Superman movie?
No. Not buttering my popcorn here. I think we talked about it last week. Superman needs to cut all of the really dark religious undertones and actually adventure to a realm in which he is somewhat fun again. And Darren A, I'm not sure if he's the right person to take it there. Now, he could completely subvert expectations. I don't know. However, the most curious news about this is he says he does not want it connected to a DCEU, which you'd have to imagine the executives would say, no way. Needs to be connected. That's what everybody's doing these days, aka Marvel, and they're hugely successful with it. So I don't see that ever happening just for that fact alone.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it'd be possible or feasible in the first place, but even if it was, I wouldn't want it to happen anyway. I kind of dig Man of Steel. I like Henry Cavill as his role. I just don't really see any need for anything, especially not now, to have a new version.
Wait, I take that back. I will support this project if Nicolas Cage is Superman.
Ooh. Have you seen that documentary, by the way?
No, but I've seen the. I think I've seen the picture from the documentary in which Nicolas Cage is doing like a screen test for him in a Superman costume with a deep plunging low V-neck Superman outfit and long, long hair, and he looks phenomenal.
There is an amazing Superman documentary based off that, because it was supposed to be Tim Burton directing the movie. Nicolas Cage was going to be in it as Superman. It had some incredible, incredible storylines, and it's a really good documentary. I highly suggest seeing The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened documentary. And like Kevin Smith was a writer at one point. It's a wild, it's a crazy movie, and it is one of the better documentaries about a movie that I've seen maybe ever.
Kevin Smith told a really interesting story about being a writer on that project. And I think one of the producers really, really wanted a gigantic robotic spider.
Oh, yeah. That's in there,
and,
too.
And the spider ended up happening, but not in the form of Superman, but in the form of the trash movie Wild Wild West.
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah. So it was in one of like Kevin Smith went on. I said Kevin Spit. Kevin Long Jorts. Kevin Smith went on a tour of college campuses telling stories, and that was in there. And I'm sure a lot of it made it to the doc that Jeff's talking about. And I'm making more of an effort to say your guys' names more because I want to improve the chemistry here. I need to say this, though. I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, so I'll just put that on the table.
I like Clerks and I like Dogma. I didn't like really anything.
Oh, Clerks is great, yeah. So Darren Aronofsky, Mother was pretty – neither of you have seen Mother yet, right? You're still struggling to want to even see that.
I'm having a hard time getting myself jacked up to go to a movie theater and sit in it for 2 hours. But no. I will catch that fresh U-verse on demand special when it does come out. Ooh. Cause I need to see what it's all about. I need to see if it's as crazy as folks say it is, which I'm sure it is. I believe them.
So buttering or not buttering?
Oh, I'm not buttering this.
No,
yeah, I'm not either. Again, I'm not buying popcorn. Two new segments in, I'm not buying popcorn yet.
Yep.
Only if Nick Cage is in this shit, then I'm buttering the popcorn. But until that point, I doubt he will be. I mean, who would even be the Superman lead in this one?
Yeah, if it's not the DCEU.
Ansel Elgort. Guaranteed, that fucking asshole. It'll be Ansel Elgort and like Miles Teller as like Lex Luthor. And like, I don't know, Carla Delevingne as, I don't know, something.
Luther.
I just they've done this with Superman since I think Superman Returns. Is Superman, I think, is a hard character to write for because he was set up as this character who really only has one weakness, and the weakness I think just so happens to be kind of a lazy writing device. Oh, you know, he's gonna fight against Doomsday and he's got kryptonite claws and therefore he's weak from it. So instead of having an actual enemy, they make one of his enemies fighting with like the expectation of being Superman. And then it becomes this huge, like existential battle for Superman. And I just want to get back to a Superman movie where he just goes around, kicks people's asses. And I'm fine if the bad guy's filled with kryptonite, but I just don't want as much heavy handed stuff in this. I don't know if Darren A's the guy.
I mean, the first thing is Superman has to lighten up. Henry Cavill is a great actor. I like him, but that character is just such a dopey, depressing person because that's just how it's written. And that's just not a good start. Third topic, The Murder on the Orient Express. I've been pretty excited for this movie just because it's a lot of actors I like, and I love Daisy Ridley, and I'm excited to see her in something else. But holy hell, am I the only one who hated the trailer? The new trailer that came out, what era is it from?
The Imagine Dragons era.
It's from what, like the 50s or 60s? I don't know. It's from not the 21st century. And the music in the trailer is Imagine Dragons Believer. And that's not a knock on Imagine Dragons. That shit just doesn't line up. It's one of the worst trailers I've ever seen.
The name Imagine Dragons is so stupid.
Yeah.
I'm with you. First statement I'm going to make, they should have named the movie Murder Train. I know. The second thing is Depp is essentially playing serious Mordecai.
That's true.
That's very accurate.
You know, I'll butter my popcorn on this one because I do think it looks interesting and it has a lot of folks I really like in it. But the trailer itself was, it was just the Imagine Dragons got me because they're just like one of those bands that I associate with like slugging a Monster energy drink. them in AWOL Nation. So it's hard for me to really take. And I do like their music.
Sail! AWOL Nation.
Sail! Radioactive. It's hard to take the movie seriously when Imagine Dragons are playing, because that's shit you bump when you're on your ATV or something.
Fuck that mustache that Kenneth Branagh has in it. It looks just so like obscenely large and like in your face comic-y, which if that was the look you're going for, whatever, but you can, like Jeff was saying, it's more of a period piece. And I thought, like you guys were saying, the cast looked pretty cool with the exception of, again, Johnny Depp, which I don't really want to see. That kind of derailed it for me.
Love good train humor. That's great.
I just got it. It wasn't until Jeff said it that I got it.
Oh, and so Kenneth Branagh not only is starring in it, but he's also directing it. And I was looking into some of his director credits, and he directed some stinkers, but he also directed Thor, which I had no idea. And I like Thor. And he also directed As You Like It, which I thought was pretty good, even though I think it was pretty critically panned.
He also directed the live-action Cinderella, which was a whimper and not very good, starring Lily James from Baby Driver. He has some weird director and actor credits.
Yeah, right? He had like weird producer shit, too. It was really
he directed
deranged.
Thor, Cinderella, Murder on the Orient Express, starred in Dunkirk, starred in Murder on the Orient Express, Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit.
That movie stunk.
Oh, even Harry Potter. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He was fucking Gilderoy Lockhart.
Yeah. Wow, that's a weird career.
He was Artemis. Wait, no, not Artemis. Who is the bad guy from Wild Wild West?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shit.
Artemis was Kevin Kline.
Yeah, Dr. Arliss Loveless.
Yeah, yeah. The only reason I know the names is from the song.
We have had two Wild Wild West references in one episode. And it's been like 15 minutes, I think, of time. That's great.
I want to drop my favorite Wild Wild West fun fact, and that's that Will Smith turned down Neo so that he could do Wild Wild West.
Would he have been a good Neo?
No, I literally didn't reply to that because I was already thinking about him as Neo, and I can't even conceptualize it.
I think the last thing I really enjoyed with Will Smith was I Am Legend.
Oh, so good though.
Yeah, I found that to be a really good movie. Yeah, Will Smith, well documented. He is very selective about his roles and typically tries to take, you know, one big December release movie per year, and he never really goes out on a limb and goes in a movie that, you know, he's a bad guy. I think Suicide Squad is probably the closest thing he's ever come to, but they're kind of good bad guys.
So Murder on the Orient Express. So we're not buttering our popcorn to the trailer, but what about the movie in general? Has this trailer hurt your thoughts on the movie? You still want to butter it to the movie?
You know what? I'll butter my popcorn on this. I think it could be interesting. It looks like a nice, you know, clue on the murder train type scenario. Some intrigue, possibility of it being a gripping thriller. So I'll butter it. I'm just, the trailer turned me off a little bit. Kind of hurt my opinion of the movie.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it too, just because I love that cast and I can't wait to see my first Daisy Ridley feature outside of Star Wars. So I'm going to not butter to the trailer. I'm still going to butter to the concept of the movie.
Yeah, same here. Daisy Ridley, I'm going to see it regardless. So.
You're just buttering to the concept of me. You don't love me.
So let's go right into something about Star Wars. Ron Howard. I like Ron Howard, but one of the better parts about him becoming the Star Wars director, besides the fact I like him, at least to me, is that he has been tweeting out a lot of set photos from the untitled Han Solo movie. He tweeted out a spice mine photo. At least he said something like spicy or something like
spicy,
that.
Spicy, yeah.
And it implied the spice mines on Kessel. And Kessel is a famous planet that has not been shown in Star Wars because of the line from the original Star Wars where Han Solo says, "The ship that made the Kessel run in under 12 parsec." And we've never seen this. It's a famous Han Solo plot point. I mean, I feel like I know the answer. So I guess I'm going to ask this. Not are you buttering or not buttering your popcorn, but how much butter are you putting on your popcorn to this idea that there's going to start showing some famous Han Solo things we know about but we haven't seen in movies?
It's exciting to the Star Wars nerd in me because it's like the ultimate form of fan service. But I still don't think it adds or takes away anything from the movie that we know nothing about, really. It's hard for me to really know how to feel about this because I kind of want to see it, but on the other hand, it could still be a crappy movie with the Kessel run, and that I mean, you know, so it doesn't really change anything.
I agree. It's not as much like are you or are you not buttering. I'm like, I don't know, four pumps of butter or something like that.
Ooh.
A cardboard container full of butter. You're just dropping three pieces of popcorn into.
Yeah, do you want some popcorn with your butter?
Yeah, you're dipping it in as you go, one piece at a time.
I can't wait to see some of the planets and universe they show. And thinking about, imagine the planet Kessel just being occupied by a bunch of aliens that look like Phil Kessel, just mining, mining hot dogs out of the earth. That's the actual spices that they ship.
Oh, man. I'm already thinking about making that video teaser for this one. That's great.
So I'm kind of excited about some of the cast, seeing Emilia Clarke and Bettany, Woody Harrelson. And then a little bit sketchier on Alden Ehrenreich. Although hearing just recently that Ansel Elgort also applied to be Han, I will take anybody else on fucking Earth. I will take Nick Cage right now as young Han.
Is it safe to say that he is your like public enemy number one?
It's either him or Miles Teller. They're like one A, one B.
Oh my, Miles Teller. Oh, that interview he did was so good.
So we talked about Kingsman, The Golden Circle, on the last pod, the main pod. Remember, this is not the main pod. We talked about how it's had some bad reviews. I saw it already. By the time this comes out, I actually think both Ken Jack and Trillo have seen it as well. The mixed reviews is kind of really the name of the game for this one. I gave it a 69. Really cool action, fun stuff going on in it, but it's weighed down by just a bloated script with so many subplots. However, there's one thing I think we may have mentioned. It actually may have gotten cut out of the podcast, but we talked about how they spoil the reveal of Harry, Colin Firth's character, in the trailer, which is a big deal because he was shot in the face in the first movie and died. And they just show in the trailer that he comes back. And the director came out and said he's mad at the marketing department for spoiling the movie. So there's not much we can butter our popcorn or not butter our popcorn to. But can you think of another time that something like this has been spoiled, or like a trailer has ruined a movie for you? Because this doesn't ruin the movie, but it ruins a pretty good surprise. Like, it kind of takes away something that would be shocking in theaters.
I think people sometimes have the perception that the studios are surprised when the movie comes out and they don't do well because the movie's not as good as they expected. But these studios know what they're dealing with well beforehand. They know if the production's not going well. They know during the cuts if it's not coming together as a good movie. What this says to me is they knew they had a meh movie on their hands, and they knew that the reception would not be good, and that would translate into a lack of interest. So they just threw Colin Firth in there to get some hook into it.
Yeah, that's what I think I was saying in the last pod, is that was probably the idea behind it, is that they already thought they had a stinker on their hand, and that the one way they could get more people into it is to say, hey, look, we got Mr. Darcy. He's back, folks. So
folks,
he's back. But yeah, that I can't imagine another movie that's done like kind of out of marketing blitz like that, where they show the big twist in between it.
Before we go to our next topic, we have some leaked trailers that were not released that would have spoiled really big twists. So, Joe, you want to tell your intern to roll clip?
Yeah, I'll tell him to roll clip. Hey, Kev, I'm sorry about last week. Yeah, don't worry about it, man. I'm okay. Just roll the clip. The Vulture's back, folks. And guess what? He's fighting Spider-Man. And guess what? He's Spider-Man's love interest dad. In a world that's actually Earth, the apes have taken over.
Did he murder his wife? Why did he hire Tyler Perry to be his lawyer? Guess what? She faked the whole thing. And she's going to kill Neil Patrick Harris halfway through.
And stay for the after credit scenes of Ben Affleck's Dawn. Not everything is as it seems. Turns out Bruce Willis is dead.
Come watch the new thriller, Saw, where it turns out the guy who was dead on the floor the entire movie was really alive. Oh, my fault.
Vader is his father. You will not believe how Luke reacts in Empire Strikes Back.
Come watch the brand new Jordan Peele thriller, Get Out, where it turns out they're all homicidal racists.
Did Bane make it out of the cave? Turns out it was Ra's al Ghul's daughter who did. And Bane is a bad guy who gets killed when Catwoman bursts through a wall and fires a fucking motorcycle missile at him.
All right, let's get back into some superhero stuff here. Zack Snyder calls Ben Affleck the best Batman of all time. So not only are you going to butter your popcorn to this or not, but what are your Batman rankings? Your best Batmans to your worst Batmans. Is Ben Affleck the best to you guys?
No, I don't think Ben Affleck's the best. I thought he was good, but his body of work is quite small. That being said, another Batman and another Batman on this list suffer from the same problem, and they are rated low. I'll just get into my list. Let me say this, though. I didn't include Adam West because I consider these to be like recent cinematic Batmans. And Adam West is honestly in a category by himself. I don't think you can compare Adam West to any of these other Batmans. Number one, Batman, Michael Keaton, the Keaton God, the Keaton-innocence. It's back. Number two, Bale. Three, Affleck. Four, Kilmer. And five, Clooney. Kilmer and Clooney are the ones that they only got one movie apiece. So I rated Affleck higher because I think he's a better Batman. I think Clooney was the worst Batman for me. Interested to hear your guys' list, though.
So mine, I went Bale number one, Lego Batman, Will Arnett number two.
Oh, I forgot about Lego Batman. That cucked. Big time cucked.
Yeah, I got Lego Batman number two. I still my absolute, I think, solid second favorite. And I don't understand how you guys couldn't have him that well. I don't know, Jeff.
First off, I don't know how you can rate Lego Batman higher than Michael Keaton.
Because that movie wasn't very good. It's pretty easy.
Ooh. Well, you know, that's an opinion. And while I agree with your right to state your opinion, I don't agree with the opinion itself.
Bench. All right, well, you're not going to like where it is. Number three, I got Batman and Robin, the Clooney one.
What?
Your list is insane. Somebody...
I like it because it's goofy, and like I don't look at it as serious as the other ones. Like, I love the Schwarzenegger freeze so much. It's so fucking funny to me.
Oh, yeah, but we're not rating him on the movies. We're rating them on the quality of Batmanness.
Yeah, and I liked his rendition of Batman in that, and that it's affected by the rest of the but still. But
I'm gonna shut up. I'll just let you do your list. I'm sorry, it's just triggering me.
I'm welcoming all of your guys' criticisms. I added Adam West into mine, and I have him at number four behind Clooney. I'm reading their faces right now, and it's fucking hilarious. I got West behind Clooney. And mostly because it's just goofy. They're goofy movies and I like them. Or the one movie, but the show too. I got Batman Returns, it's just Batman, the Keaton one, number five. those movies are just kind of like gray and dark. And what was it, Burton directed? And I just didn't like them.
Yeah, as opposed to the bright and sunny Nolan Batmans.
Yeah, but that one was good though, which is the huge difference. So number six, Batman Forever. Kilmer, like that movie, I feel like had a solid potential. Like Jim Carrey as the Joker, I thought was actually awesome. Like that I couldn't think of in a goofy, comic-y Batman who could cast better than Jim Carrey as the Riddler, rather. And it just sucked. It was like in between being dark and scary and being comic-y, and it just was like in no man's land of being garbage. And then last, Ben Affleck's Batman, which was trash. He sucks and I hate him.
I am so floored
by the faces.
You had me kind of upset just off the list. And then you said you liked the Jim Carrey Joker, which I have so many issues with Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones in that movie the Riddler. Did you say the Joker? Because they both played the Joker. They were playing the Joker.
The fucking Jim Carrey character design like was stolen from that infomercial guy with dollar signs on his fucking suit.
Oh my God, what was his name?
I don't know his name, but like, maybe it's from the comics, but you know, it just had like question marks all over a spandex suit. And then, oh yeah, we're going to give you little cute goggles and your hair's going to be red.
Yeah, but back up though, I don't like his rendition of the Riddler. I said I couldn't think of anybody who I would cast in that role ahead of him.
Okay.
But it just, the role, he sucked in it.
I'm just mad he didn't have a line that was like, joking.
That is, okay, I'm sorry. You can have your opinion. I mean, it's horrible, but you can have your opinion. So I actually agree with Zack Snyder, and I don't agree with much on him. I actually think Ben Affleck is the best Batman.
Oh, really?
I didn't like that movie at all. I thought he was stoic. He had the right temperament as Bruce Wayne. And then as Batman, he was just kind of a badass. Him like working out, getting just yoked. I like that. I don't know. I was a big fan of that.
He was a really good Bruce Wayne, now that you mention it.
I think he is easily the best Bruce Wayne. I think you can give me a debate on Batman, and I will not have a hard time kind of agreeing or seeing someone's reasoning. Christian Bale is right there, number two. I almost say 1A, 1B. Michael Keaton, number three. Love Michael Keaton, but I don't connect as well with that Batman as some do, or maybe a little older than me, just by like a year or two.
or like 10.
Val Kilmer, number 4. I love that Val Kilmer still says he's Batman on Twitter. Great Twitter account.
That's pretty cool.
5, George Clooney. I mean, there's just really the back credit card and all that shit. I mean, I guess it's not his fault, but it just not
screenwriting, dog. It's a great movie.
I don't think Will Arnett belongs in this category, and I don't want to hear a debate. You know, we'll ask our Twitter followers. Let's post a graphic with our rankings and the Batman.
I'm going to post it right now as we're talking to you. We'll see if we can get any responses by the end of the show.
Let's see if we can create an image, though, that has, like, each Batman and, like, a rubric underneath that ranks them, and then do, like, a net Batman point system.
So we tweeted out a poll just now, live, during the pod, from @LightsCameraPod. If you consider Lego Batman, you know, part of like a ranking for best movie Batman. So we'll see what the numbers are at by the end of the show, which is actually almost over because we only have one more topic. Those are our rankings for Batman. A lot of disagreement here. This is a very heated. We're going to have a really heated off podcast discussion after this. A lot of arguing and yelling. Lastly, and this is related to a nice little website plug for us. Ken Jack and I recasted the Star Wars prequels. Who we would like in those movies if they were made today. And Ian McDiarmid, who we kept as Emperor Palpatine, Sheev Palpatine, has come out and said he doesn't want anyone else playing Palpatine. Do we butter our popcorn to that? I think it's obvious now based on our recasting blog on lightscameramovies.com that Ken Jack and I agree. So really, Trill, this is for you. Would you want anyone else playing Sheev Palpatine, the Emperor? A spoiler alert here. If you don't want a Star Wars spoiler, it's not a huge one. Turn this off. Apparently, there's a leaked Lego Snoke figure from The Last Jedi, and he's holding a hologram of the Emperor. So he could be in this movie. But so really, Trill, this is for you, and then Ken Jack and I will answer. Do you think anyone else should play the Emperor, or should it just be Ian McDiarmid? He's not dead. He's still alive and very well kicking.
A of all, I think it says a lot about us that we're actively tracking Lego playsets for Star Wars spoilers. And I do this too. It's pathetic, but it sustains me. And B of all, no, nobody else should play Palpatine. Come on now. Like Ian McDiarmid is Palpatine. Or is that his name? Not Ian McDiarmid.
Yeah, Ian McDiarmid. He's
Palpatine. Oh, sorry. I got it. And B of all, no, nobody else should play Palpatine. Ian McDiarmid is Palpatine. Maybe if they wanted to do a younger Palpatine, but again, we don't need that. I don't need to see a young Palpatine. Part of what makes Palpatine scary and terrible is just how decrepit he looks. That's part of his character. And he can continue playing this role for years and years and years because Palpatine just has all that makeup to make him look like that.
Look, I think he was actually incredible in the prequels. That's part of the reason why I'd want him recasted. I thought he should have had a Best Actor, Supporting Actor nomination. I know that sounds ridiculous. You're already laughing at me. I thought he was great. I don't know. I wouldn't want anyone else. He's been in the original. He's been in the prequels. He was in the ones in the 70s, 80s. So you gotta keep him going. Can't recast that.
I was just laughing at the thought of somebody winning an individual award for Phantom Menace. Like what that would have been like at the Academy Awards. It's like best supporting actor goes to Ian McDiarmid for Star Wars, The Phantom Menace.
Moving on. I think we agree. We're Ian McDiarmid fans. Okay. So we did our poll about Batman, the Lego Batman. If he counted in a best Batman power rankings, we got a lot of replies here. I'll read a couple off. Trill Ballin says no. So that's a big one right there.
Quote tweet.
Matt McClanahan. Great name. Does Kevin Conroy count for Mask of Phantasm then, which was the animated Batman? And someone else actually said something like that. They said Crossfire owner at JFHT2C says, Crossfire. I say no. I love Crossfire. I say no, but I'm a hypocrite because I count Kevin Conroy as my favorite Batman, the animated one. Lieutenant Watermelon. We have great follower names. I voted no because I don't count any animated Batmans in the power rankings. Robbie Fox, friend of the pod, said no, definitely not. A lot of no's here.
Okay, well, there's also a lot of yeses.
I totally rigged that in our favor.
Good friend of the show, Dude Rebe, said actually it's the best. And also good friend of me and Chargers friend who is suffering with me watching the game right now said yes, if Val Kilmer counts, so does Will. which is very fair. Somebody else said yes, and it's close to the top. We have the slubs dressed as fake Batmans in the Sandman scene in Dark Knight ranked, which I also think is probably a good idea.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Also, somebody replied directly to me and said, have you read the replies? At least two of the people who voted haven't even seen it. This poll is invalid. So I'll take a vote. I'll take a vote of no confidence in this poll if that means that we keep in Lego Man or Lego Batman.
I think it's safe to say that our country has never been more divided on if Will Arnett is an actual film Batman or not. And the poll sample size is getting up close to 300, which is statistically significant. So no is the answer.
Oh, yeah. I guess I should have said that. It's 54% right now say no out of just over 320 votes. Okay, so that turned into a very heated Batman thing. Thanks, everyone who voted live. Keep voting. That's going to be up. We'll have to touch on that poll when we hit the big pod. The reason why this has come out on Tuesday and not the normal Sunday into Monday night is because we just wanted to give a little more time for you guys to hear the full pod, episode 3, which we talked about summer movies. So check that out. That's available. And later this week, we are going to review Kingsman, The Golden Circle, and It. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to have another segment, which we'll just see what that is on Thursday.
Oh, we got all the Kingsmen here, ain't it? We got some bloody wankers who think they're Kingsmen. Well, they're not Kingsmen. They're like imposters out there on the pitch playing footy.
You fucking what, mate? You say, you fucking what to me? I'll fucking shag the bloody queen, I will.
I just got done playing FIFA 18 preview weekend, and I got to say, I made some right excellent bangers out there on the pitch, mate.
Your mum's a bloody shag, mate. I swear to fucking God, bruv.
Meet me at Piccadilly Circus. I'll beat you. I'll beat your butt, mate.
Big shout out to everyone who's followed us and listened. And hey, keep subscribing, giving us the old 5-star rating. And hey, if you just want to put smock in, that's great, because that's what a lot of you did in our iTunes reviews. No issues there.
No,
actually, somebody,
as long as it's 5
somebody,
stars.
And I will shout him out on our Twitter. Somebody put a very thoughtful review and said, this is not just a smockin' review, and gave a really nice, well-thought-out review. So shout out to that person. So subscribe, 5 stars.
2 stars.
Follow us on Twitter, at LightsCameraPod, and visit our website, LightsCameraMovies.com. We have a review database up there, our rating database up there, and some reviews, much more. Yeah, actually, we do have 1 4-star review, and the person gave a glowing review, so I'm really curious why that 1 star is missing. But hey, not gonna lose any sleep over that.
You fucking what, mate?
You fucking what?
You bloody 4 stars.
For Trill Bonds, LCB Ken Jack, it's Jeff Lowe. It's been Real Dump News Podcast. Talk to you later this week.